going to take our text from Matthew chapter 24, beginning with verse 3. And if you'll just follow along. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, talking about Jesus, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, 'I am Christ,' and shall deceive many." Now we know that Jesus goes on and talks about various things in this chapter, but for the sake of time, would you just look down at verse 12? We'll pick up there with three verses. Verse 12 says, "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." Shall the end come. The title of my message today is from our text, "He that endures to the end shall be saved." Let me begin this morning with this statement. I believe we are living in what is now known as the end times. That season of Christ returning for His bride, the church. Without hesitation, I believe we are the generation that is going to see Christ return. And you've got to understand and know that for many, it's going to be a fearful thing. In fact, the Bible tells us that men's hearts will fail them for fear. But you've got to remember something. God has a remnant who will endure. That church within the church, that remnant, those will endure. Who will stay the course and who will stand strong. And as the Bible says, who will do exploits until the last trumpet sounds. In fact, I believe God is already at work raising up those men and women and even children who will operate in the supernatural power of God's Spirit. And I believe they're going to be different to anyone who has ever lived before. Listen, for every season, God has something for that particular generation that lives during that period of time. And again, this last generation, of which I believe is the one who will see the return of the Lord, I believe this generation is the greatest generation that will have ever lived. We who are alive in these days are different to the saints of God that have already passed on. You see, Paul spoke about two different kinds of people when Jesus returns. He tells us of those who died before He returns and those who are alive when He returns. And here's what Paul wrote, recorded for us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. "For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God." And the Bible says, "And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore," Paul writes, "comfort one another with these words." So you see, we are told to encourage and to reassure each other with this portion of the word. We can already see then the world becoming a dangerous and uncertain place to live in. Again, the Bible warns that many will die prematurely because they will be overcome by fear when they see what is happening. Practically every day we're seeing things happen before our eyes. Shootings now on a daily basis. Nations at war with one another. And we're seeing now within our own nation a well-orchestrated attempt to cripple our nation. It's being done through open borders and the shutting down of our own gas and oil fields, which just over a year ago, you have to understand, we were self-dependent with our own resources. And in this short span of time, because of bad policies, we are begging our enemies to sell us oil. How sad is that? And we have become, America has become a laughingstock to the world. We are paying farmers to not grow crops, which is bringing the food shortages, higher prices, and if not stopped, it will lead to a civil war and famine and a wrecked economy. And if that's not bad enough, we see the powers that be intentionally poking the bear, meaning there are those that want a war with Russia. Understand, the next world war will be nuclear, and you have to know that no one will win. And the Bible, in fact, speaks of a third of mankind being killed. With the population of the world now, that would be over 2 billion of people in the world that would be killed. But you have to understand, that's the plan. Because from the ashes of a third world war will come what is called the Great Reset, which is another name for the one world government, which will usher in the Antichrist. But God wants us as His children, as His chosen ones, as His body, the church, to walk in an anointing that we have been given and not live our lives in fear. Can you say amen? Amen. He wants us to have a spirit of faith and of power and of love, and for sure, a sound mind. When we see these things come to pass as each day goes by, we need to encourage one another because, listen, it is an indication that God will raise up this present generation in power, Brandon. In the past, God imparted an anointing for a specific people and for specific people groups. And there is an anointing that is coming upon the church in these last days. And I believe it is different than any other anointing that has been on any other generation in the past. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, "To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven." I believe for every season and every time that there is an anointing corresponding with the season for which God has a plan for those people that are alive at that time. If we are to believe then the signs of the end times as taught by Jesus, again, this present generation is without a doubt the generation that will see Christ return for His bride, the church. And if you are a child of God, this is the most exciting time to be alive. It's certainly not a time to be fearful. Luke 21:32 says, "Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all things take place." So as true believers, it's going to be imperative that we make wise choices in the days to come. Sadly, there will be those believers who will not prepare themselves and most likely will not place a demand, listen, on God or even a desire for a fresh anointing upon their lives so that they can prepare themselves for the things that are about to be manifested on the earth. The wisest choice then that we could make right now as believers is to seek out that fresh outpouring of God upon our lives so that we can then be anointed for God's end time plans and purposes for our individual lives, for that of our families and for our church families. Listen, as God's people, we need to be battle ready. We need to be battle ready. Can I tell you this morning, and it's already been said, nothing catches God by surprise. These are exciting times, and that is why Paul tells us to encourage one another with these end time promises. Everything is in God's master plan, and He has already, you've got to know, He has already set things in motion and in order. He already knows what the globalist plans are. He already knows what Satan wants to do and is planning. But I want to remind all of us again here today, God has His own plans. Would you look at your neighbor? Tell him God has His own plans. And they are great plans for us. He told His prophets thousands of years ago what is going to happen in these end times. So again, we can make a wise choice by aligning and positioning ourselves with the purposes of God. In the past, God used different people for different kingdom purposes upon the earth. God has He's used events and instances in history to build up His kingdom. And God has His plans for us in this season. You need to know God is not in a hurry, and He alone knows the final outcome of everything. When God feels that the gospel of the kingdom has been preached and has reached all the world as a witness to the nations of the earth, then just as we read in our scripture text from Matthew, Jesus said, "The end will come." So all we need to know is this, that God wants to use us in our season. Would you just look at somebody and tell them, God wants to use you. And listen, He is willing then to empower us uniquely with His Spirit so that we can produce unique things and do great and mighty things for Him in our generation. The anointing then is simply the Spirit of God that empowers us to perform a specific task. There's nothing spooky about His anointing. And I believe there are specific things that God has for each one of us, and He will anoint us for those specific tasks. He's given us giftings and talents and anointings. Did you know that history has shown that Christians can work against the purposes of God simply because they are not ready for change? There are Christian leaders and other believers in the last days that are going to unknowingly work against God's plans because they have not searched out the things of God. If we miss God in our season, He's going to use somebody else. You got to know that. He's going to use somebody else who is anointed and enlightened to His plans. I, for one, do not want to miss one thing that God has planned for my life. Can you say amen? Amen. We need to have our eyes open and our minds then that are renewed through prophetic understanding and hearts then that are willing to be flexible to what God is doing. Simply meaning that He wants us to look for His move, which will not be packaged in the way we think it will be. Hear me now. He wants us to be ready for His outpouring, that as it comes, we're going to recognize it. No matter how it's packaged, and be able to flow with it. I want to flow with His Spirit. Amen. The Bible teaches that it is the anointing then that breaks the power of the devil. And your testimony overcomes him and will bring him ultimate defeat. Here's what Isaiah the prophet wrote in Isaiah 10:27. It shall come to pass in that day that his burden will be taken away from your shoulder and his yoke from your neck. And the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing. The Bible says then that the wicked are going to become more wicked in the last days. I don't know how much more wicked they can be, but the Bible says they're going to become more. You know, it's sad, and yes, it's pure evil when you see folks purposely attack other people because of their race. And I believe hell is going to be extra hot for some people. I don't want to be standing next to some folks when they stand before God. So the only thing that is going to come up then against Satan's wickedness and his power is the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon our lives. You will never be able to take him on without the anointing. The anointing that you, listen, the anointing that you received way back when will not take you through the battle today and tomorrow. God wants us to have a fresh, continual fire burning in us and upon us. We need an outpouring of God's Spirit, and we need to be endued with power from on high. Throughout the world, today is known as Pentecost Sunday, where we commemorate what took place in Acts, the second chapter. The Holy Spirit, when you read that, you find the Holy Spirit was poured out upon 120 spiritually hungry and thirsty men and women who had been waiting for that power from on high and waiting for that touch from God. We too need an infilling, a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit in this hour to be able to do what needs to be done and to be able to come against the assignments of Satan. It's already been spoken here today. We know the enemy is out to destroy families. And he's done a pretty good job with a lot of families. But I'm telling you, there's a time to say enough is enough. We can draw a line in the sand. Amen? And I know I'm seeming to be repetitious in this, but it's going to be, listen, what keeps us victorious in our daily walk. Can I just tell you that how we are positioned will be an important element towards victory in our lives in the days ahead. Our position, how we are positioned, is going to make a difference. Well, what do you mean, Pastor? We are either positioning ourselves then towards God's purposes, or are we positioning ourselves towards Satan's purposes. And if we are continually then talking and walking in fear of some virus, now there's something called monkeypox, and there's going to be a whole lot other things that show up intentionally. And if we are in fear then of future events, whose purposes are we leaning to? It's not God's for sure. So if we are not positioning ourselves then for God's purposes, we will find ourselves then ultimately defeated. And that is not what God's plan is for His children. We will get nowhere if our focus and priorities are not on God. There is then, I believe, an urgency today for God's people to seek Him with everything that we have and to be ready to flow and to move with the Spirit of God. I want to be ready. I want to be ready. Do not be caught without the oil of the Holy Spirit. This last great move of God is going to be such that if we do not position ourselves spiritually, we're going to miss it. I don't want to miss out. if you do not understand what God is doing in the last days, when it comes, you will not know that it has come. And I'm obligated today by God to tell you, it's not a time to be playing around with the world. You cannot straddle the fence. There is no place for playing around with the devil, and there is no place for experimenting with sin. Now is the time to search out the things of God according to His Word and then live by that Word. We do not have to compromise with the world. Hear me now. You really can live a sold out life for Jesus Christ, which, by the way, is the best life to be lived. We must be ready today. We cannot be ready tomorrow because, guess what? It will be too late. We have to be on fire for God today. And I believe in the days to come, we're going to experience some unique and powerful things that the Lord Jesus has for us as His bride as we get closer to His return. One of those things is that I believe that we will see is a unity come to families. April's already preached it, so I'm just going to go ahead and repeat it, okay? Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. That's not just people in the body of Christ. It is for the body of Christ, but I'm talking about family members, family. It'll be a mature, unified, and uncompromising bride that Christ will come back for. Now, I don't want to burst anyone's balloon, but the bride of Christ will not have the name Baptist on it. It's not going to have Pentecostal on it. You're not going to see Methodists. You're not going to see Church of Christ. You're not going to see the Cowboy Church on it. His bride will cross denominational barriers. There are believers, and I'm telling you, there are Spirit-filled Catholic folks too. He's going to take believers out of every group of people. The church will be strong and will emerge as a formidable army that will be unstoppable in the coming days. And it's going to be a church that is going to be so in love with the bridegroom and will gather together for no other reason than its genuine love for the Lord. And need I remind us that God has not called us, especially here at New Life, for small things. He's called each and every one of us for great and mighty things. He's called us to a great work. A great work in your family, at your job. Hallelujah. Listen, Abraham walked in his anointing and subdued powerful kings. They recognized the power of God on his life and allowed him access to all of their wealth. And just as God magnified Joshua in the promised land, the anointing will magnify us in the last days, which will make us unstoppable in the face of opposition. I also believe that we will see an increase of those out in the open, aggressive attempts to destroy the church. But you have to know, we're going to be covered. We're going to be protected. Listen, if we wake up one morning to find ourselves in the midst of chaos or in the midst of anarchy and you see it on your screens on the TV, I'm here to tell you the Holy Spirit will protect you. He will hide us, and we will be able to be as one of those that are untouchable, if you please. And guess what? We have God's Word to back us up on that. Psalm 27:5 tells us, "For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret place of His tabernacle, He shall hide me. He shall set me upon high, upon a rock." Listen, the Lord says He's going to hide us. When the people wanted to stone Jesus, listen, His anointing hid Him so that they could not find Him as He walked right through the evil crowd. I believe we can be seen, and yet at the same time, we will be hidden from the enemy. David wrote so many psalms like this because he experienced this anointing when King Saul tried to desperately hunt him down. It should have been easy. You have to understand that it should have been easy to find David because he traveled with such a large group of people. Yet Saul's mighty army could never find him. The anointing on David hid him from the plans of the enemy, and he eventually emerged from hiding to take over Israel. And I can truthfully say many are in here today. Listen to this now. And you have been hounded by the devil as he has desperately tried to stop you and take your life from you in various ways. But you're still here. Would you look at your neighbor and tell him you're still here? Why do you suppose that is? Because of the anointing. As a child of God, under the blessing and in covenant with Almighty God, don't doubt that there is an anointing over your life that declares that you will live and not die in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you just speak that right now? I declare that I will live and not die. Hallelujah. It's awful hot up here right now. Spiritually and physically right at this moment. I'm going to take a break, y'all, just for a second. Hallelujah. I believe there will also be a powerful spirit of discernment coming upon the end time church. From 1 John 2 and 20. John writes, but you have an unction or an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. Having spiritual discernment or insight is simply this. The Holy Spirit reveals facts and conditions that are true but are unknown to us until that time. Listen, if the Lord chooses to delay His return for whatever reason, the body of Christ will need to be anointed so that it can navigate through great chaos and confusion and difficulties that will come about in our land. We're seeing it to a very small degree right now. And our surviving, or let's not say surviving, how about let's say our thriving, will depend on our relationship again with God's Spirit. Our spiritual eyes and ears are going to need to be opened as we are led by God. And you have to understand, being led by the Spirit of God does not mean being led by circumstances. Well, Pastor, under the circumstances, it's this and this and this. Absolutely not. We do not live under the circumstances. It's by hearing then the voice of God and being led by His Spirit. I've used this example before, but it's worth repeating. I want to repeat it again today. One day He may just say, get your cash out of the bank and keep it safe somewhere at home so you can get to it quickly. And you do, and then you find all of a sudden, then come Monday morning, the banks are closed and the ATMs have quit working. But there's been a breakdown because there's been a breakdown in the banking system. Or the electrical grid has gone down because of a storm. And so you are glad then at that moment you obeyed God. Again, it's not a time to be afraid or walk in fear, but we will have to become very intimate with the Holy Spirit and listen to how He leads us. When everybody else is blind and they do not know where they are going, we're going to be able, watch this, to be able to see through the darkness and the fog. Meaning we will have supernatural insight to deal with anything that comes our way. We'll be so in tune then with the Holy Spirit that He's guiding us and giving us information that we're needing in this hour, or as they say, in real time. Did you know that one of the disciples by the name of Philip in the Bible functioned with a supernatural anointing? Can we have then such an anointing that empowered Philip to run faster than a chariot? Acts chapter 8 tells us the story how the angel of the Lord came and instructed Philip, who was anointed, the Bible says, by the Holy Ghost, to run and catch up with a man from Ethiopia, one with authority who happened to be riding in his chariot, reading the writings of Isaiah. The Bible says Philip caught up with him. He jumped up in his chariot with him and he explained the scriptures. And the Bible says he preached unto him Jesus. And they stopped the chariot and the man accepted the Lord and into his heart. And it says Philip baptized him. And verses 38 and 39 of Acts 8 says, and when they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, and he was found in another city and went on preaching Jesus. Philip walked in the supernatural anointing, and I'm here to tell you that we can also walk in that same anointing. I believe we will see doors open where we're sharing our story and presenting Jesus then to a dying world and even to a greater degree. And not just share our story, but carry it through like Peter and John did in Acts chapter 3. Peter told the lame man at the gate, I don't have any silver or gold on me right now, but here's what I do have. In the name of Jesus, get up and walk. And the Bible says the lame man who was lame from birth got up, walking and leaping and praising God. Woo! Walking and leaping, Brother Gary, and praising God. Matthew 24, 14 again says, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and the end will come. Matthew 9, 35, then Jesus went about all the cities and villages teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Can we see then signs and wonders following the sharing of the gospel, which releases then that healing anointing that will touch and heal every sick person everywhere we go? Listen, if we're serious enough and desire it, yes, we can. It will happen. And I believe that we are anointed to have a harvest right here in our community, which is ready to receive salvation, healing, and deliverance. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to skip on here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love it when the Lord quickens your spirit. Hallelujah. If you don't remember anything else today as a true child of God, just know that God is for us and not against us. And you and I have been chosen for this hour. We have been chosen for this hour. Now, I want us to go ahead and prepare for communion. I'm stopping short. I'm not through. I'm going to say something while they're passing communion out to you. Reith, would you come? Hallelujah. Brother Gary, would you help Brother Brandon here and Tony, maybe Gary and Tony on the right side, and Brandon. And Brother Charlie, would you come on down? Brother Charlie, come on down and help Brandon. They're going to pass it out to you. Now, let me encourage you. I noticed some of those cups were sticky on the base part. Just grab the top lid, maybe, the top rim, the rim of it. If not, it's going to be kind of sticky on some of those. But just hold it with you. Hold it, and we're going to all take it together here in just a moment. All right. I want to share something with you, what I believe other ministries are saying, and what I also believe that the Holy Spirit is doing right now in the world that we're living in. Again, today we celebrate Pentecost, the event found in the book of Acts in which Jesus' followers received the Holy Spirit. Luke tells us you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You've got to know what that means. That's not a quake and it's not a shake. It's not about emotion. It's not about feeling. It's not about an opinion or even a religion. Jesus said you will receive power. Holy Spirit people are people who believe God's word and then who declare it so over their lives. I believe today I'm talking to a body of Holy Spirit people. Can you say amen?
Amen?
Holy Spirit people do not beg, and they do not settle for less than God's best. You're not a settler, and you're not a beggar. As Holy Spirit people, we should be known, listen, for our appointments and not for our opinions. The Holy Spirit then is the most significant empowering force in the universe. I'm not talking about just any power. I'm not talking about coercive or controlling power. I'm not talking about a temporary, a tantalizing or transitional power. I'm talking about the power that Jesus said will flow like rivers of living water in our lives. In that passage in John chapter 7, Jesus was prophesying about the Holy Spirit, the same power that descended upon Jesus when he was baptized in the Jordan, the same power that raised the Lord Jesus from the dead on the third day. Understand with me that as Christ followers, we have the same ability to speak into the storm and say, "Peace, be still." Can you say amen? Because the Holy Spirit dwells within us, and we have the power to speak life to ourselves. We have the power to speak life over a stranger and to friends and to family. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of you, Paul wrote in Romans. Jesus, through the power of His Spirit, listen, came out of the tomb. In His power, you too can come out of anything. Now, this is where I'm getting to. As we partake then of this communion today, and we are remembering what Christ did for us at Calvary, understand and know without any hesitation that you can come out of addiction, anxiety, fear, confusion, bondage. I'm going to hit somebody before this is over. Depression, discouragement, shame, and sin. There's no reason to find ourselves defeated with the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of us. As children of God, we are people of supernatural power to overcome this world. Back in the Old Testament, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit was only temporary. I'm almost through. It would come and go as it pleased. The Holy Spirit would visit and partially fill, but never wholly and never permanently. Now, because of the atoning work of Jesus, the power that you and I have is not temporary. It's final. Would you say it's final? No longer must we rely on the Holy Spirit falling upon us, but we depend on Him filling us to overflowing. The very Spirit of the Creator of the universe now permanently resides in us. If you have accepted Him into your heart, He is your comforter and advocate forever and always. When the people of God really catch hold of this, listen, we will see an unprecedented outpouring of His power. And you've got to understand this today. COVID or any other devilish virus is not more powerful than the Spirit of God that's inside of us. No cancer, no depression, no political power, no religious ideology can outsmart or outmaneuver the strength and will of God who is inside of you and me. Nothing hell can conjure up is more powerful than the Holy Spirit of God inside of you. Because of God's indwelling Spirit, we can confidently say, greater is the one living inside of me than he that is in the world. On this Pentecost Sunday today, let's begin praying. Watch this. Why can't we begin praying for holy dynamite? An undeniable explosion of power. In ourselves, in our families, in our communities, and guess what? Over our nation. Our nation needs it right now. So let's pray today as we partake of communion that every single vestige of darkness be taken from us, and that each person here today would be washed afresh with Holy Spirit power on every family, in every church, in every ministry, in every community, be baptized anew in the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. And I believe as we get closer then to the coming of the Lord, entire cities are going to experience an awakening. More people will come to Jesus than ever before. Can you say amen? Amen. Let's get ready. Let's get ready. Let's don't hold back. Let the Lord do what He wants to do in your lives. Okay, Brandon, I need one. I need a deal right quick. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Whew. Oh, Daddy. You better go back and get that boy here in a minute. Thank you. Thank you very much. Since April had talked about restoration so eloquently, my whole 10 minutes I skipped over. How's that? I love it when the Holy Spirit does that. Thank you, April. The Lord is in the restoration business. He's here today to restore some things. Not just your physical body, but how about your finances? Oh my gosh. He'll open doors. And guess what? If you'll ask Him, He'll close those doors where you don't make a mistake. Because there's some doors you don't want to walk through. And that's why it's going to be so imperative we stay in tune with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Here's what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, this cup is a new testament in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you drink this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. One more verse, Isaiah 53 and 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we might be healed. We are healed. It does not matter what's being manifested right now. It doesn't matter the symptoms. The Word of God says we are healed because of what he did on Calvary. Hallelujah. If you got your bread today, Lord, I thank you right now for your body that was broken, and we are remembering what you did for us. With your body broken. Thank you for healing today in every area of our life. In Jesus' name. All right, let's partake of the bread. Hallelujah. And as we partake of the cup, we thank you, Lord. This represents the blood that you shed for us, covered our sins. I thank you for salvation today. Thank you, Lord, that you reached down and picked us up out of a miry clay and you set our feet upon a rock. So, Lord, as we partake, we're remembering the blood that you shed. Let's all partake of the cup. Hallelujah. Can you just worship the Lord right now? Right where you're sitting. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord, I thank you right now. I thank you. I thank you for restoration. Restoration in our families. Restoration in our bodies. Restoration in our finances. Every area, Lord, I thank you now. I thank you. I thank you for what you've already done in this house today. Thank you for what you did in this place last night. Lord, we're preparing for a great harvest of souls. And so, Lord, again today, we call them in from the north, the south, the east, and the west. And we thank you that you have those that are to be in this house. And so we thank you now for that. Thank you for a great harvest to come into the kingdom. Thank you, mighty God. Lord, just do your work. Hallelujah. We've got just a few more minutes here. Can we just linger for just a moment and leave? If you don't have to leave, don't leave yet. I just believe the Holy Spirit is doing a work right now. He did something in your bodies as you obeyed earlier and came down to the front. But I'm telling you, he's ready to do more. Would you ask the Lord to show you if there's anything else that he wants to do for you? Just say, Lord, do it, what you need to do for me. You see what I'm needing. You see what I've been asking for. I'm telling you, the Spirit of the Lord is here. He'll download into your spirit. That's why it's so important that we spend time with the Lord. Don't just tell him all. He wants to hear everything going on. But what happens, we tell him and we jump up and we don't give him time to answer. Well, you just got through asking me all, and I was getting ready to tell you, and you already up. No, he's ready. He's ready. He's ready and willing to hear. He's ready and willing to do right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for each and every person. As we're here and we're lingering in your presence, Lord, I'm asking that you do a complete work today. Begin something even new in our hearts and our lives, something that we have not experienced. Hallelujah. Sweet Holy Ghost. Sweet Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord. He's doing a work right now. He's doing a work. If you're willing, you want to go deeper in the Lord, you just tell Him, Lord, I want to go deeper. He may just say, well, why don't you just linger a little more in my presence? Take time, make your time of the day. Spend some time. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for what you've done in this house today. And I thank you today as we leave from this place, Lord, that you're going to go with us and going to direct our steps. Lord, I thank you today. I speak blessings over your people in the name of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you. Let's all stand together.